Go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. We're looking at the longest prayer in the Bible for revival. Now, it's a little easy to remember because they're nines, but if you remember Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and Daniel 9, those are all prayers for revival. In this particular one, we looked at the start of it last week in chapter, we looked at the start of the chapter, but just notice this in this prayer for revival. Now, we're going to look at the rest of it next week, but how they start their prayer, how they start praying and asking God for revival is in verse 6. And Jesus taught us in Matthew, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We're to address God as our Father. But there is a reverence realizing God is the Creator. And so notice when they start praying, they've just got done with a 23-day revival, reading the Bible for half the day, the teaching and the singing to God and the feasting, their idea of celebration, that's chapter 8, the revival chapter. Now they come to the time of fasting, and then they're going to ask God, and this is how they start the prayer. Look at verse 6. "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." Now, from verse 7 to the end of the verse is the history of Israel and their failures. "God, we have failed you here. We have failed you here. Dear God, help us now." And that's the prayer for revival. We wanted to take verse 6 and look at addressing God as our Creator. And one thing that's wrong with America is they don't like to address God. They don't like to face God as the Creator. If you realize God made you, then you have to own the fact God owns you. So to admit that there's a Creator causes a domino effect of logic to say, okay, if God made me, then I owe him something. That's why from the 2000s early on, if you ever look up the movie, The Silencing of the Christians, from the 2000s, you'll notice when I got saved in 1986, there was teaching on creation. There were debates. Remember the debates between evolutionists and creationists? You won't hear of that anymore. There are no more debates. It's not allowed on any college campus. The only books that can be published in America are books that endorse evolution. Now, if you want to publish a book on creation, you have to pay for it yourself. But the science community will have nothing to do with a book on creation. You won't find any more debates. That's because they were getting their lunch eaten. They were getting owned. So they got tired of it, and they just said, so no more debates are allowed on college campuses anymore. Evolution and creation debates. And you won't find any more books. Evolution is one of the major pillars of humanism in our society. Now it is in every school, every college, everything. So what we're going to show you tonight is a continuation of why evolution is impossible. Both creation and evolution take faith. There is more science to back up creation than there's no science to back up evolution. None. It is a hypothesis. It is a theory. It is something that has to be you. The only reason you believe evolution is because someone told you to. But nobody ever walked outside, looked at the trees, all the arms reaching toward heaven and said, you know, I think it came from a rock. The only reason people are taught that, they believe that, is because they're taught it. But nobody's conscience witnesses to evolution. It witnesses to your Creator, Romans chapter 1, right? The invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things that are made. Revelation 1:18. So, what we're going to continue tonight, we're using Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, how they addressed God as the Creator. If I gave you one more point of review tonight, if you remember, we looked in Colossians chapter 1 last time, and we saw how God is addressed as our Savior And then a few verses down, he's addressed as our Creator. In the same sentence, one of Satan's masterpiece teachings is evolution. Because if he can get you to believe there is no Creator, it is very hard for you to get saved. So the more people that swallow this junk, that we come from a rock or monkeys or whatever it is, we're watching fewer and fewer people get saved and they're hardened to the gospel. Creator and salvation, they are very... You accept Jesus as the Creator, and then your Creator died for you. Let's look at here, and I'm not going to review the other things we showed. One thing we learned last time was, remember how they say everything was spinning and then it exploded? And we learned one thing: in our galaxy, there are 6 of the 63 moons rotate backwards. That's one reason evolution is impossible. Of the moon, you can't have something spinning a different direction than everything else if it all come from the same source. So there was no Big Bang, but that's what they want you to teach. That's one scientific proof that the Big Bang did not happen. Now, when you read 2 Peter chapter 3, when somebody says, do you believe in the Big Bang? God says here, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth shall be burned up. Things did not start with a big bang, but this earth is going to end in a big bang. It's going to explode. And the Bible plainly teaches that. Then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, all right, that God creates. So do I believe in a big bang? My big bang is different than their big bang, but I do believe in a big bang, all right, because the Bible teaches the earth, everything we see, except the Bible, is going to be destroyed, going to be burned up. Okay, that's coming. That's after the millennium. Now, the second law of thermodynamics says everything tends toward disorder. And even God teaches this in the Bible. In Hebrews 1, it says, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They, the heavens, shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. The Bible plainly teaches that everything around us is in a state of what you call disorder, and everything is dying. It's in some states. Just like in the mornings when you get up, your hair's a mess. If you just leave it naturally, no, it needs attention. All right, and your teeth need brushing. What's it say in the textbooks? It says about 30 million years ago, larger primates such as monkeys and apes evolved. The earliest fossil apes that may be ancestral to both humans and modern apes. So this is a tarsier, and of course there's lemurs. They date from about 15 to 20 million years ago. This is all in the textbooks. What's amazing is this foolishness, like what one person said, a tree gave its life for that to be printed. Ha ha. The utter foolishness of it, you mean these are ancestors to humans? It says ancestors to both humans and modern apes. Well, anytime you hear 30 million years ago, you know long ago and far away. Nobody was there. You know that what is coming next is a fairy tale. 30 million years ago. Okay, so we're supposed to believe that these things are our ancestors. So what are you going to say? Grandpa? It's goofy. Goofy, stupid. What's sad is, with this being taught in school, this verse here, Matthew 18:6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. You teach children against God? This is now taught from kindergarten on up. We come from monkeys. There is no God. And voila, look at the society that we're having. An animalistic society. You damage a child's brain, you hurt a child. And Jesus said, it'd be better for you to be cast into the sea. This is a verse I refer to when I talk about that pedophilia going on in Washington, D.C. You don't touch a child. You don't hurt a child. God puts a special curse on those that would hurt children. We're talking about teaching them the foolishness and the lie of evolution. If creation is true, then there's a creator. If evolution is true, there's no creator. If creation is true, then there are rules. But if evolution is true, there are no rules. If creation's true, there's a purpose to life. If evolution is true, there is no purpose to life. You just exist and then you die. That's what we're watching happen to our society. If creation is true, man is a fallen creature and in need of a savior. If evolution is true, man is evolving with no need of a savior. We're just getting better and better, which is garbage. If creation is true, sin brought death into the world. Man did. Adam's. If evolution is true, then death brought man into the world. If creation is true, there is an afterlife. If evolution is true, there is no afterlife. If somebody is taught evolution, it affects their whole lifestyle, is what we're trying to show you. If you teach them that there is a creator and God made you, then that affects your lifestyle. What you believe about God affects your output. If there's creation is true, there's comfort in knowing the future. If evolution is true, there is no hope of knowing the future. They're without God and without hope. Why would you show us this? Because the indoctrination of evolution before and after federal funding. Before 1960, there was about 2,000 or 3,000 words in each textbook about evolution. Then 1957, the Sputnik landed on the moon. Americans panicked because Russia made it to the moon first, and they said, oh, it must be because they teach evolution in Russia. So they started, and the first time the government got involved in printing school books was the late 1950s. So the words teaching evolution went from about 2,000 to 3,000 up to 33,000 words. And then what happened in 1963? The Bible was outlawed. Madeline Murray O'Hare and prayer was outlawed in school. Notice this timeline. Well, what happens as evolution is taught? Sexually transmitted diseases from ages 10 to 14 go up 385% from 1963. Animalistic behavior. These are all statistics. What else happened? Divorce rates from 1963 escalated and went through the roof. Violent crime offenses rose to over almost 1,000% from 1963 up. The more you teach, there is no God, there's nobody to be accountable to, you're never going to face your creator, then the more you get to be God of your own universe. And you can kill people if you want to. Voila, our society. What else happened from 1963? The birth rates for unwed girls, 10 to 14 years of age, goes up 100%, just to the mid just in 20 years. Pregnancies are up 553%. And then what happened in 1972? It's okay to kill babies. So now over 42 million babies have been murdered in America since then. The more evolution is taught, the more crime and the more the society goes downhill. It's because of the thinking. There's no God, no creator. All the statistics and medical and science, all of it shows this. SAT scores from 1963, this is your college entry teachings, started going down. Then in 1995, they dumbed down the SAT test. They made it so that you didn't look so dumb. They dumbed it down. They simplified it. Why? Because the education is going down. Things are not the way they used to be. Unmarried couples living together, 725% increase. Once again, teach evolution, kick God out of the schools, and look what was on the right. Prior to 1977, unmarried couples living together was such a small group that the data on this group was collected only in the 10-year census. Now it's massive. It's everywhere. Voila. Our society. You see how teaching and helping people understand when you get saved, yes, God is your creator. Teaching them how bad evolution is very important. It helps their thinking. God does say, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Hebrews 13:4. It was a sin back then. Did you know people having a physical relationship outside of marriage used to be a jailable offense? In America, it no longer is. But you used to go to jail for it. Not anymore. Do that nowadays, I'm sure you'd be tried for a hate crime. From 1963, teen suicide rate did nothing but escalate, and it's still going higher and higher today. This is only from the 1990s, but it just keeps escalating. All right? That does fall in line, though, with Proverbs 8:35. God says, "Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." And God says, "All they that hate me love death." What a verse. You want to teach there's no God? Guess what the ramifications are going to be? Murder, suicide, and people destroying each other, drug overdoses. "All they that hate me love death." God says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." It's the first verse of the Bible. "And he answered and said unto them," Jesus said in Matthew 19, in reference to Genesis, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" So the beginning is when God created Adam. Mark 10:6, it says, "From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." You say, why is this important? Textbooks say that the earth is billions of years old. Yet Jesus taught the creation of Adam was the beginning. As you read your Bible, you'll find it is only, the earth is only, if you did your own timeline study, the earth is only 6,000 years old. 4,000 years before Jesus, and it's been 2,000 years since Jesus died. Right? 4,400 years ago, 6,000 years ago, God created the earth. 4,400 years ago, God flooded the earth and destroyed everything on the earth and started over again. Right? So, God says the beginning was not millions or billions of years ago. Jesus said it was when Adam and Eve were created. All right? "He answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Okay? Jesus wasn't lying when he said that. Now, here's reasons to believe. Somebody said, well, if God made Adam and Eve and they were the first man and woman, then where did Cain get his wife? There's only one place Cain could have got his wife. They married sisters. Okay? There was no other place. You say, "Oh, that's gross." Okay, there was no chromosome damage back then like we have to deal with, which causes the malformities and the things now when there's intermarriage. You say, "Well, they couldn't do it." Okay, think with me just for a second. There was no other answer, but where did Eve come from? Adam's rib. Same DNA. No, I think things were fairly similar. But as creation has gone on, there's chromosome damage, and that's why cousins aren't supposed to marry cousins and all this other stuff, okay, because of what? Birth defects and all of that. They didn't have that to worry about back then. No, they married sisters, okay, until the population of the earth grew. Now, let's cover this here. Reasons evolution is impossible. The human population chart. You'll find, once again, here we are in 2000 AD, here's Jesus, and then 4,000 years between creation and Jesus dying on the cross is 4,000 years. The earth goes about 1,600 years, and then God kills everybody except 8 people. Okay? Noah and his sons, right? So, the population, well, here, I'll just, the time Jesus was on the earth, there was about 250 million people. Quarter of a billion, 250 million, I guess you could say. Okay, that's what they've estimated as far as population. You say, why is this important? Because in 1985 is when we reached 5 billion people. Okay? In 1810, really, right around 1800, the earth's population reached 1 billion. Everybody knows that. That's scientific. That's typical data. This isn't estimation, okay? This is, now, population growth of modern humans, okay? If you take 1 billion people in 1810, the way things start doubling and exponentially growing, okay? 1990, it's 5.3 billion. I think they said by 2025, it'll be 7 billion people on planet Earth. And it keeps, it's going faster and faster, okay? If you took the whole population of the earth right now, they would fit in Jacksonville, Florida, twice. Yet there are people that are saying the earth needs to be depopulated. There's a whole bunch of ridiculous teaching on this. Bill Clinton signed a thing where when he was president, he thinks the population of the earth needs to be brought down to 500 million. It's interesting, you know, Jacques Rousseau, he believes the earth's population should be brought, everybody should be killed except 250 million. He said that in his lifetime. But there's a whole bunch of, Ted Turner, owner of CNN, said the earth's population needs to be brought down to 500 million. There's too many people on planet earth. There's not too many people on planet earth. Have you driven through Wyoming, Texas? There's not. If it's too crowded where you're at, move. Amen? It's not too crowded. Cities are too crowded. But the earth is not overpopulated. Okay? That is a devilish teaching to justify killing masses of people. You understand? Now, if the whole population of the world would fit into Jacksonville, Florida, twice right now, okay, which is 25 billion square feet, the human population chart that as you read your Bible and as we deal with human statistics, it says it's impossible, okay? It's impossible. I already told you there was 250 million people on the time of Jesus here on the earth. In 3 million years, the population would have grown to 150,000 people per square inch. Everybody see how exponentially it's growing? The earth cannot be millions of years old. It's impossible. They say man came on the earth 3 million years ago. The earth is 4 billion years old. You know what I mean? And then they keep on doing that. And then 20 billion years ago was the Big Bang. But the earth, mankind, they say man has been alive. No. Population stats show it's impossible. It's impossible. Okay? That would be crowded. Okay? Now, next, let's think about our solar system. How come evolution is impossible? Like there's no chance it could have happened millions or billions of years like they say. Because Jupiter and Saturn and Neptune are cooling off too fast. You say, what are you talking about? Jupiter is losing heat twice as fast as it receives it from the sun. Okay? The question is, it should be very cold by now, but how come it's still so hot? You say, how hot is Jupiter? Does everybody understand Jupiter is the biggest planet in our solar system, right? Does everybody understand it is a gaseous planet? You can't land on Jupiter. You know what I mean? It's a gaseous planet. It'd be kind of like landing on the sun, only you're going to find out it's worse, all right? You say, what's the temperature of Jupiter? If you land in the clouds, okay, the atmosphere around Jupiter, it is 230 degrees negative, below zero Fahrenheit. As you go down from the atmosphere into Jupiter, the core of Jupiter is 43,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Why is Jupiter so hot if it's losing temperature twice as fast as it's getting it from the sun? Okay? You say, how hot's the sun? Watch this. Our sun is on the surface, it's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. At that temperature, any metal turns to gas. You understand? Steel, gold, doesn't make any difference. It turns to vapor. At the core of the sun, our sun's temperature is 27 million degrees. You say, how'd they measure that? They did it at night. Okay, that's a joke, okay? I wish you'd have heard that, all right? Now, that's one reason evolution is impossible. If the solar system and the creation was older than 6,000 years old, Jupiter would be, at the rate it's cooling off, it would be much cooler than 43,000 degrees at its core. Okay? Let's look at another reason. Jupiter's moon, Ganymede, has a strong magnetic field. Magnetic fields are generated by the liquid motion of molten metal inside a body. Yet Ganymede should have cooled solid, quote-unquote, billions of years ago if the universe and our solar system is 20 billion years old. It should have cooled off. It's not. It's a very hot moon. Everybody understand? It can't be billions. It can't even be millions of years old. Next, our sun has been losing weight, okay? It is getting smaller every day, all right? So it is a scientific fact to know our sun shrinks about 5 feet of mass per hour. Okay? Now, here's the typical thinking. If it's getting smaller, then that means it was what? At one time, bigger. Right? So that's going to be common sense. Since 1836, more than 100 different observers at the Royal Greenwich Observatory and the U.S. Naval Observatory have made direct visual measurements that suggest that the sun's diameter is shrinking at a rate of about 0.1% each century, or about 5 feet an hour. Now watch this. 22.4 million years ago, the sun would have been touching the Earth. You understand? You understand what they did? They said if it's shrinking, there's no way our galaxy is even a million years old. All right? No, it's 6,000 years old as you read your Bible. It is a young Earth. Next, the moon is leaving us. It is getting further and further away from the Earth. Right now, it's 239,000 miles. All right? So, it is getting farther and farther. When the Earth is close, it affects the tides, right? That's where our tides come from. It comes from the moon. So as the Earth rotates and the moon goes around, wherever the moon is not, that's low tide. Wherever the moon is high tide. Okay? Everybody pretty much knows that, especially if you live on the coast. Okay? That's kind of old news. There is no way at the rate the moon is going away from us that the Earth is millions of years old. It can only be 10,000 at the most, but it's 6,000 years old. If it was any older than that, the tides would be out of control. Obviously, if the moon was just, 100 miles from us, it'd whack out the whole planet, all right, with a gravitational pull. No, evolution is impossible. Let's look at another thing. If you spin a planet faster, you increase the wind speed. So the faster it rotates, right? Jupiter spins on Jupiter, largest planet, in one day. Their day is 9 hours and 55 minutes. So if you'd like life to go faster, move to Jupiter. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Now, on Jupiter, because it's spinning so fast, winds rage at greater than hurricane force, which is around 600 miles an hour. Okay? That's heavy-duty winds because the planet is spinning so fast. Saturn spins rapidly. On Saturn, it one day is 10 hours and 14 minutes long. All right? And there, the winds rage at about 1,000 miles per hour. 1,000 miles per hour winds. That's like nuclear bomb type stuff. All right? The Earth is spinning about 1,000 miles per hour at the equator. Okay? The Earth's rotation period has been slowing down at exactly the same rate over the last 400 million years. Okay? Hugh Ross is a ding-dong. Okay? But even he acknowledges that the Earth is slowing down. Now, once again, if the Earth is slowing down, that means it was spinning faster. Right? So that's why a second is added to the clock every 10 to 18 months in Greenwich time. It says here, regular clocks use days as a measure, which are growing longer by 1/1000th of a second or more daily as Earth's rotation slows. So this is shown all over the place. The Earth is slowing down a little bit. That's why we have leap years and then we have leap seconds and all of that stuff. At the rate the Earth has been slowing down, just 80,000 years ago, the wind speed on Earth would have been over 500 miles an hour. The Earth cannot be millions of years old. It's not billions of years old. Evolution is impossible. All right? There are so many scientific reasons that the Earth is not millions of years old. We've covered several of them. Let's keep on looking here. Okay? So that's just over 80,000 years ago. That's not even close to a million, okay? It's just one close to a tenth of it. So, how did the dinosaurs die? All right, here's some theories. If you match it up with billions and billions of years ago, the sun was so big they fried, right? Crispy critters. So if you believe evolution, how'd the dinosaurs die? Well, the sun was so close that it cooked them all. Then the moon was so close, the high tides caused them all to drown. Right? They were around millions of years ago. All right. Next, the earth was spinning so fast, the wind sent them into orbit. Right? Because if the earth was spinning so fast, they just slung off the earth. All right. Isn't this stuff goofy? That's why I'm trying to show you tonight, evolution is impossible. Scientifically, it's impossible. All right? Here, let's take the landing on the moon. Littleton felt that X-rays and UV light striking exposed moon rocks could, during the age of the moon, be sufficient to form a layer over it several miles deep. And so what you're going to find out, when they landed on the moon for the first time, their fear, that's how come the landing gear had the pads on it. They thought when they landed on the moon that the dust was going to be so deep that they were just going to keep on sinking. Okay? If, after all, they're believing evolution, so they believe that this dust is just on the moon very deep. One of them said, I get a picture, therefore, of the first spaceship picking out a nice level place for landing purposes, coming in slowly downward, tail first, and sinking majestically out of sight. Isaac Asimov said that in 1959. Okay, they literally thought they were going to disappear in dust when they landed on the moon. When you look at one of the books from 1959, okay, this is a children's book. It says, the moon does not look like the earth at all. There's no trees, no lakes, no water at all. There's just dust. Deep gray dust. Dust, dust, dust. Everybody understand? Nobody landed on the moon yet. But they thought the moon just would have so much dust on it. When they landed, okay, praise the Lord, they found out there was less than half an inch. Half an inch. If it is millions of years old, then there would have been a lot of dust. It's not millions of years old. It was less than a half inch, which shows the Earth is only 6,000 years old. Our galaxy is only 6,000 years old. Same thing with the universe. The landing pads were added and the legs lengthened because of concerns about the predicted layers of dust. Okay? And of course, show you pictures here, but there they are, you know, there's their tracks. It's less than half an inch, okay, of dust. Let's consider another thing. So you got dust on the moon. That proves that evolution is impossible. Final illustration tonight. You with me? The winds of the Sahara Desert, the largest desert on Earth, blow one way constantly. They don't shift like here. This causes a problem because as the trees are always facing the wind, they keep dying and the desert keeps expanding. Okay? That process is called desertification, right? And that's how the desert is made. The winds always come in at the same direction. With that in mind, the Sahara Desert and its expansion and how big it is, it's 1,300 miles, you know. The Sahara Desert is 1,300 miles from north to south. It is growing southward at about 4 miles each year. As it enlarges, the rate of growth is increasing, and it's obviously only a few thousand years old. If it was millions and millions of years old, it'd be the whole continent of Africa. But that's the largest desert on the earth. And it is showing at its rate, the longest it can be is 4,000 years old. Well, 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. So that makes sense. Okay, 4,000 years old. Once again, it's only a few thousand years old. Several reasons, I've already covered these with you. We took Nehemiah chapter 9, and we said, notice how they address God as the creator. Because if you address God as the creator, and you're willing to acknowledge that he made you and spoke you into existence, then it puts you in awe that he died for you. And that same one who created you came down to this earth, put on flesh, and died in your place so that you could live forever with him in heaven. That is amazing. If there is no creator, then there's no hope. So as we tell, I think, you know, those of you that go soul winning with me, I think I face evolution probably one and out of every 10 people I talk with, it'll come up and you're going to hit some angle with it. Whenever they start talking, I just always go, it's impossible. Oh no, it's scientific. It takes more faith to believe you came from a rock and a monkey than it does God spoke you into existence. Amen. Let's take this message to the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for Lord, I know true science lines up with your word, and I just pray that please.